शोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे निताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल
ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की श्री श्री गौर निथाई की श्री श्री गिरिधारी गोपाल की राधा गोपीजन वल्लभ भगवान की श्री जनार्दन महाराज की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। Welcome everybody to this Bhagavatam session in the morning on Sunday. Today we are reading from Canto 12, Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, 3rd verse. Purana Sankhya Sambhutim Asya वाच्या प्रयोजने दानम् दानस्य महात्म्यम् पाठादेहे च निबोधता। पुराण संख्या संभूतिम् अस्य वाच्य प्रयोजने दानं दानस्य महात्म्यं पाठादेश्च निबोधत। पुराण संख्या संभूतिम् अस्य वाच्य प्रयोजने दानं दानस्य महात्म्यं पाठादेश्च निबोधत। प्लीज रिपीट। पुराण संख्य संभूतिम् पाठादेश निबोधत। वाक्य प्रयोजने निबोधते। माताजीज़
पुराण संख्या संभूतिम सवाच्य प्रयोजने दानं दास्यं च महात्म्यम्
इसको बंद करके पाठादेश निबोधता पुराण पुराण संख्या संभूतिम अस्य वाच प्रयोजने दानं दानस्य माहात्म्यम् पाठादेश निबोधता पुराण ऑफ द पुराणस संख्या सॉरी संख्या ऑफ द काउंटिंग ऑफ वर्सेस संभूतिम द समेशन अस्य ऑफ दिस भागवतम वाच्य द सब्जेक्ट मैटर प्रयोजने एंड द पर्पज दानम the method of giving as a gift danasya of such gift giving mahatmyam the glories paathadeha of teaching and so on cha and nibodatha please hear translation and purport Now, please hear the summation of the verse length of each pranas. Then hear of the prime subject and purpose of this Bhagavad Purana. The proper method of giving it as a gift and the glories of such gift giving. And finally, the glories of hearing and chanting this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all Puranas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the other Puranas will now be mentioned just as assistants of a king are mentioned in connection with his glorification. Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा Thank you very much for assembling this morning. I am entering the temple after 1 year. So it's an amazing feeling because many times we have been given the best of best things in the world. But when best of best things are available every single moment, then we don't value it so much. So sometimes it is taken away from us so that we understand that how precious those things were. This is true about the situations, this is true about relationships, this is true about dear ones, this is true about every single thing in life. Because our tendency is to take things for granted when they are available regularly. I remember His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, when he had done that famous kirtan in this hall, you know, dancing back and forth for hours together on Sunday afternoon. In that visit he had told that this Radha Gopinath temple is studded with unlimited spiritual energy, filled up with unlimited, unbelievable, inconceivable spiritual energy. And when I come in, I partake of that nourishment. I drown myself in that ocean of spiritual energy. But every day if we come, we may not realize that abundance of spiritual energy. So what is important is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day when we remind ourselves of our good fortune, every day when we come to Mangal Arati, we see the form of the Lord and thank the Lord that we are so fortunate to have this opportunity. Otherwise we would be saying something else in the morning when we get up. And life would not be so great and so wonderful that it is today. We may not realize that. So, this kind of facility of reminding ourselves every day is only possible in human life. No other life you will be able to remind yourself of the good fortune that you have got. Even if we become a dog in a Vaishnava's house, we won't be able to remind ourselves, okay, I am a dog in the Vaishnava's house. That won't be possible because that body is not equipped enough to have such kind of facilities and privileges. So, the very human life also is so rare that now we are in already. I can feel that I am in a human body. I can feel the facility that I have got. I can feel the expanse of the mind that I can stretch to. I can feel the opportunity that is available to associate with devotees. I can see the opportunity to be able to read Bhagavatam, to come in temple, to remember the Lord, to keep remembering the Lord continuously, to eat prasadam. So many things, small things, but they make up our life. They make up our life so meaningful, so worthy of living, so precious. Eating prasad, if you don't appreciate anything else, if we just eat prasad and say, I eat prasad every day. Someone was telling me in the morning while taking prasad that I just came to have darshan of the khichdi, which was cooked after such a long time with the big rice. I said, yes, when you come to observe Krishna, finally you get hooked. You just came to see, but you ended up eating the non-spicy and spicy, both kinds of khichdi. So that is not ordinary rice and ordinary dal. Shaka Krishna Swadilo, that is offered to Krishna. And he has tasted it. It's as simple, it's not like 5-star, 56 items kind of food. It's a simple thing. But it nourishes the soul, enlivens the soul, gives pleasure to the soul. But if you just eat khichdi like khichdi, then it will not make any difference. It will make difference, but it will not make obvious difference. So if you are just aware of what we are given and what we are going through, fortunately, then each and every moment will be the moment of advancement in Krishna consciousness, on the path to Krishna, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Each moment in human life is empowered to give us a new realization. Each darshan of Gopinath ji, every single day, when we see a new Gopinath every day. We don't see the old Gopinath which you saw yesterday. But fortunately, we also see Mangal Arati every day at home with large number of people on Zoom. And we see very closely that he is so different every day. So many different ornaments and different dresses, and there is not a single, the dress may be repeated but it doesn't look same because things are different. So there is so much of variety and so much of pleasure and so much of nectar which is stored in each and every moment, each and every molecule of the time of human life, that we are just aware, we are just cognizant, which we call in Marathi Janiv, if we are having that cognizance and awareness. then each moment we are going closer and closer and closer to Krishna. And that's not physical, as we have learnt in this period of Corona. We have learnt that a spiritual life is not just physical. Spiritual life is much more beyond that. And spiritual life is unlimited. And spiritual life is non-restrictive. It doesn't get restricted with any of material impediment. Nothing can stop spiritual life and spiritual progress. There are newer and newer hundreds and thousands of means. With each and every obstruction that we get, we can evolve with. Like those devotees in Siberia, I think in that salted bread we have drama. They were put in such a situation where nothing spiritual is there about it. But they made beads of bread. Bread soaked and dried, and these beads were made. And they made garlands of newspaper into flowers and flower garlands. Offered that to Krishna in mind. And they were wearing it as Mahaprasad. And they were wearing, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the wheat bread beads. And while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra on wheat bread beads, they left their bodies in the concentration camp in South Siberia, where temperature is minus 40. Along with the drugs that they were injected in, were so harassed and programmed. But still, no force of programming could stop their progress in Krishna consciousness. Nothing could stop. Maya was defeated completely with all her force, fully in a planned manner. So, what to speak of Corona, it was not so difficult like Siberia concentration camps. Here there was so many things. You are sitting at home watching Zoom and hundreds of lectures going on. So it's like a feast actually, in disguise. You are not traveling anywhere, spending any energy of the body to go, come, get tired, exhausted, heat, sun, rains. Sitting at your home comforts and getting such a variety of feasts which you would never otherwise get. You can choose. Today I can listen to Bhagavatam class of Giriraj Swami. Today I can listen to Niranjan Swami's Bhagavatam class. Today I can listen to Sachinandan Maharaj's Bhagavatam class. Today I can attend this retreat. Today I can attend that retreat. This lecture, that lecture, which I would never get. In 5 minutes I'm in Surat, in 5 minutes I'm in Kolkata, in 5 minutes I'm in Amsterdam, in 5 minutes I'm in California. Just sitting at home. That is the potential of human life. And that is the potential that is there in spiritual life also. This combination of spiritual life and human life is a killer combination. If we realize the importance and the value of that. Most of the time when we are born in the family of devotees and raised in Krishna consciousness, sometimes raised in temple itself, born in temple, raised in temple. So we want to just get out of it as soon as we get young. As soon as we get adolescent, we want to run out of it. It's too much to bear. Because daily if we eat laddus, we feel we should eat namkeen also someday. That's what the nature of the mind is. That's why that constant daily reminder, association, evaluation, valuing every single day has to be there. Very consciously we have to value what we have received. Especially when we are down with some unhappiness or we are upset with something, something we've gone not with a will of our mind or as per the anukul, favorable to the mind. We should count on this. So many amounts, numbers of blessings that we have received. So that there is, we will come to know when we count our blessings and count our fortunes, there is nothing to actually feel bad about. But so much has been already bestowed upon us. And the upsetness that comes in between appears and is rendered to be very insignificant. If we consciously, you know, reminisce or remember our fortunes. So similarly, I was thinking of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is concluding chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. How great Srimad Bhagavatam is told in this. Amongst all the literatures, where does this Srimad Bhagavatam stand? I was thinking that originally it was spoken by Krishna to Brahma. No script, no literature, I mean no script was there. Not in written form. హార్ట్ టు హార్ట్ ట్రాన్స్మిషన్, తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద ఆది కవయ్య, స్ట్రేట్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ. అండ్ దట్ టు స్ట్రేట్ నాలెడ్జ్ రియలైజేషన్ టుగెదర్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ కి ఫస్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ దెన్ రియలైజేషన్ దెన్ డైజెషన్ అసిమిలేషన్. ఇట్ ఇస్ లైక్ రెడీమేడ్ నాలెడ్జ్ విత్ రెడీమేడ్ రియలైజేషన్ స్ట్రేట్ ఇన్ టు ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ. దెన్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ ఇట్ వాస్ టు గివన్ టు నారద్ ముని, ఫ్రమ్ దేర్ కుమారాజ్ వర్ రిసీవింగ్ ఇట్. అండ్ అట్ వన్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ హ్యాడ్ టు బి రిటర్న్ డౌన్. బట్ వాట్ వాజ్ ద స్టైల్ ఆఫ్ రైటింగ్? ఈవెన్ వెన్ రూప గోస్వామి, ఫర్గెట్ అబౌట్ ఎట్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ, వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ వెన్ రూప గోస్వామి వాజ్ హియర్, సనాతన్ గోస్వామి వాజ్ హియర్, వాట్ వాజ్ ద స్టైల్ ఆఫ్ రైటింగ్? భూర్జపత్ర, దే హెస్ టు కలెక్ట్ సమ్ విశేష స్పెషల్ లీవ్స్ అండ్ సమ్ స్పెషల్ ఇంక్ అండ్ సమ్ స్పెషల్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ పెయిన్, యూనో టాక్ వాట్ ఎవర్ మోర్ పంక వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్, అండ్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు బి రిటన్ డౌన్ అండ్ డ్రైడ్ అప్ అండ్ దెన్ నంబర్డ్ అండ్ స్టాక్డ్. అండ్ దోస్ సో మెనీ లీవ్స్ ఐ కలెక్ట్ సమ్టైమ్స్ మ్యాంగో లీవ్స్ ఫార్ డూయింగ్ యజ్ఞ, యు నో, అండ్ సమ్టైమ్స్ ఐ స్టాక్ దెమ్ టుగెదర్ జస్ట్ టు క్యారీ దెమ్. ఐ వాజ్ వండరింగ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఆర్ 1 మిలియన్ మ్యాంగో లీవ్స్ లైక్ దిస్, హౌ విల్ ఐ స్టాక్ దెమ్? ఇట్ విల్ ఆల్ ఫాల్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్, సమ్ విల్ స్కిప్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్. And so many thousands of papers, leaves were stacked and numbered, and then chapter wise and then book wise, and so many books collected together, and that has to be preserved somewhere. Some sample we have, such kind of preservation is there in Jagannath Puri, in that literature of Jagannath Puri, in one room, one private room is there, only Jagannath Puri chief priest enters, it is worshipped also, and it is a room actually filled with leaves with kumkum and haldi and everything offered to that. And they take out one leaf in between and they read again, put it back. And plus leaves get worn out also, in the course of time, because of the power of time. They get, you know, netty. They become like nets. So much of challenge was there. And such literatures, one time Janava Devi asked Jiva Goswami, because she was not having the scriptures there. So she wanted it to be copied and to be transported to Bengal. And I will not go into the story, you know what all happened in between, before it reached there. So it was so easy. You can imagine Acharya Srinivas wanted to learn Bhagavatam, so he went to Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri, in Tota Gopinath, and he realized that, oh, it is all handwritten, and my tears of love while reading that, while narrating that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so many places, people, it is all washed off. So there is actually no Bhagavatam, only papers are there. All the ink has been washed off by my tears. So by the time he went back and he came back, Madhadhar Pandit had gone. Why I am telling all these things? It is so rare, it used to be so rare to have Bhagavatam in written form. Maybe you had to queue up with some pure devotee. Maharaj, I also want to sit next to you and read and hear maybe. And it may not be possible at all times. Maharaj may be older and maybe, you know, senior, maybe not be available all the time when he is reciting or narrating. Others may not be so proficient, only one copy may be there. Not so many people may be learned in Bhagavatam. There could be so many situations, because only one copy, in Russia only one copy of Bhagavad Gita went, it read by thousands of people. Until you finish, I cannot do anything, I have to wait. So many things, so many difficult situations to approach one scripture. So from that situation, that era, we are today here. How many copies, how many sets of Bhagavatam you want to let us know. We will provide you. Such ease has been created. So Kali Yuga is advancing, but the difficulty in approaching scriptures is made easy by the technology. So in one way, in one side, Maya Devi is advancing with full swing, with all unbelievable ways of falling down and getting lost. And at the same time, on the different side, the things are becoming so easy to approach scriptures, to chant the holy name, to eat prasadam. Even though you are suffering from corona, people are coming to your door, please eat prasad. Crores of people were fed prasad, even if you don't want, it is long. Now it is a need of situation of the hour is such that you appreciate it. Although you don't know it's prasad, but it's reaching you. So is that, I mean, yes, Kali Yuga is advancing, making us more miserable, but at the same time, the approachability, availability of Krishna is becoming so easy. So when we buy a Bhagavatam set, or somebody gives us, or we have a Bhagavatam set, and you know, I can challenge you, maybe many of the books are still uncovered from the plastic also. They're still there, in plastic only. Jashi hai tashi, jashi hoti tashi. As it is. Why? Because we have not realized the value. If I were at Rupa Goswami's time and if I wanted to open 12th canto for today's class, how difficult it would have been to get a copy and then to read and understand and prepare. But now it is so easy. I go to hospital, I said, oh, bring me 12th canto. I go home, 12th canto. I go to my friend's house in Nasik, immediately 12th canto. I go to some place, temple I come, please I want to give Bhagavatam class, 12th canto, keep in my room ready, it will be there. And that is why maybe we don't value it so much, because it is so easily available. So that is the fortune that we have. And we have to understand it that before I become senile, before I become blind maybe, for retinal problems, is coming up now. Blurring of vision is there and difficulty in reading is also there. Soft copy reading is difficult. Hard copy reading is difficult. Because you saw now, thrice I picked up the book. Before I was reading like this only. Now I have to pick up the book and read. So before eyes go away in function, memory goes away, akalan shakti goes away, better we understand and grasp it. Suppose if I become blind tomorrow, if I would have read Bhagavatam fully, it is already in my brain, it is okay. I can still recollect something, pray to Krishna and bring it back from my memory. But if I haven't read anything only, what will I recall? Then I have to solely depend on my ear. Really pray that, okay, eyes have gone, let my ear be active. So many things have to be done when things are taken away from us. So better when everything is fine, we should appreciate the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam that we have received. I remember His Grace Mahaprabhu Das, we were just medical students, you know, and we were fascinated by those 30 volume black Singapore print of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was so attractive, small copies, and we can carry one copy in your bag and travel also. This is very big still. And I just showed interest, you know. Wow, what is this? He said, this is Singapore print of Srimad Bhagavatam. 30 volumes. So he could see the, you know, what do you call, spark in my eyes. So he just gifted me the full Srimad Bhagavatam set. And in my small home, I brought it and there was a big fight in my house. What is this? Where do we keep these books? Why are you bringing these books? Why you want to read such 30 books like this? That too, spiritual books. Where will you keep your medical books? There's no room for medical books. My drawer is so small and some books are in hostel, some books are here, up and down. And you bring 30 books in the middle of this thing. There are 10 people staying in this house. So such a thing. But such a mercy it is. And then it was there for me. I read it for a long time and then I gifted to somebody else that same set of books. So you can imagine, I have not even purchased Bhagavatam till today. Not purchased. Then when I became life member after a long time, then one set of Bhagavatam came. But already I had another Bhagavatam set with me already. So I was wondering that right from the day one of spiritual life, I have not spent anything from my sweat and blood actually. Things are just coming one after another by this mercy, by that mercy. You know how much fortune is that? I don't know what I have done in the past life, but so much fortune is there. It's just coming and coming and coming. And if I fail to appreciate what is just coming by its own accord, then I lost the chance. Maybe in next lifetime, I don't know whether the same thing will come in same intensity and same force and same, you know, quantity. I don't know how things will happen. So this is it. This is the lifetime. No, there's no other lifetime where we can imagine, okay, it will be in next lifetime. That's all. What is there now is it. Better grasp it, take it, assimilate it, put it in the soul, and then whenever soul goes, wherever it goes, it will carry with the soul. Not even in the brain. It has to reach the heart. It has to reach the soul. Because what you have, what you will be accumulating in the heart, at the spiritual platform, on the spirit soul, that only will go. Rest everything will be here only. The books physically will remain here only. But what realization you have achieved in the level of heart will come with you. So such a fantastic thing it is actually. And the greatest fortune is that we know it. We have been told by somebody. We have heard it. And we have got the opportunity to assimilate it, to appreciate it in the company of devotees. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now what is being explained in the next verses? That there are so many verses in this Purana, so many in that Purana, and much, much more than Bhagavatam, and 25,000, and you can imagine this, go on, it is 400,000 total shlokas only in Puranas. And out of that, 18,000 is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained. And it is like, it is all the other Bhagavatams, all the other Puranas bear importance till Srimad Bhagavatam is not told. If Srimad Bhagavatam is told, everything becomes like this stage. Everything becomes absolutely insignificant. Like in Vrindavan Dham, when the bees start humming, all the birds, they go in mauna. They become silent. The bees don't sing in very different classical ragas. They're just having one note maybe. This is what one note goes on eternally when they start talking. But when they talk, all the beautiful singers, birds, they just keep silent. And you know something? There's something called as Ganban. Ganban is also known as Gendoba, near Nandagaon. Because Krishna played ball there, with ball. And also that is a place called Ganban because in Ganban, the cowherd boys sing. And to listen to the cowherd boys, Lord Shiva comes, Brahma comes, Gandharvas come, Kimpurushas, Yakshas, all the singers, great musicians, devatas, they all come. And the cowherd boys in their childhood pranks, they just challenge, hey Saraswati, hey Shiva, have you got any capacity? Then sing, let us see. Otherwise we will just keep quiet. You have got 5 mouths, keep quiet. You don't have any capacity to compete with us. Hey Brahma, you have 4 mouths. You have any capacity to fight with us in singing, compete? Otherwise keep quiet. And literally they don't want to sing because they know that when the cowherd boys sing, all the birds, even the bees and the demigods and Brahma, Shiva, Saraswati, Gandharvas, Kimpurushas, Yakshas, everybody just keeps silent. And not only silent, they became stunned. It is said that wherever the birds are sitting, they become like rock. They become like stabda. Like stone, they become inert. They go in ecstasy. Like that Srimad Bhagavatam is there. And Srimad Bhagavatam is being recited, all the Upanishads, all the Puranas, all the Itihasas, all the Aranyakas, everything becomes totally insignificant. And this shines like a sun, dispelling darkness of all the ignorance. So what we have a shloka called? Krishno Swadhamo Upagate. I don't have the full shloka by heart, but it means that Krishna left and he carried knowledge and dharma, everything with him. But as soon, the moment he left to his own abode, Srimad Bhagavatam arose in the horizon of the creation, in the material world. Like a brilliantly shining sun, dispelling darkness of ignorance and paving the path of ultimate destination, that is lotus feet of the Lord. So Krishna didn't leave actually. It was like a external affair, he just left. But he was already there in different form. Already there is a replacement. So he himself arrived. He himself appeared. He himself came back in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a powerful thing and such a hope for human beings. Such a hope for all the demigods and devatas. Because don't think that devatas have different understanding and different kind of literature, different kind of processes. Everybody is just living entity. Somebody is covered with human body, somebody is covered with demigod body, somebody covered with insect body, and somebody covered with other bodies, or Rakshasa, or Gandharva, whatever. But the goal of life remains same, the process remains same, bhakti remains same, everything remains same, wherever you are. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is such a hope for right from demigods to human beings to the Rakshasas and Danavas down for everybody. Why? Because Krishna knows that this is the prime savior of all the spirit souls, wherever they are situated. So, now we will discuss how it came into script form. The knowledge aspect of the Lord had to actually come down for that. Before that, I'll tell you another story, which will bring to that story. There was a parrot of Radharani called Lila Shuka, and very favorite parrot of Radharani. And you can see Radharani's parrot means what? Vrindadevi's parrot means what? It's already on the finger here, all the time. So close association with the nectarian finger of Radharani, Krishna, and everybody. So this Lila Shuka has witnessed each and every esoteric, most esoteric pastimes of the Lord with Radharani and gopis. There is, you know, the privacy goes on increasing. Only gopis, then only some gopis, then only some of the some gopis, Parameshti Sakhi gopis, then only two gopis, then only eight gopis, then only Lalita Vishaka, and then even they also go away, then only Radha and Krishna. Nibhruta Nikunja, Vrindavan, most in confidential. And all of them, most of them, not all of them, this parrot has viewed, observed, relished. He was a part of that. He was serving that. He was fully involved in that. And the time came for Radha Krishna to depart from this world. So naturally he wanted to go with them. Like Hanumanji, Bibhishan, everybody wanted to go, but anyone asked to leave back. So he was sad. And he asked, why I have to stay back? So Radharani said, you have to glorify all our pastimes. You have to narrate to them, to the world. We will go, then you have to narrate. So this parrot said, I am okay with that instruction. If I were to narrate these pastimes, I need to hear it from a pure devotee of the Lord. Isn't it very contradictory and amazing? Why you have to hear again? He has already seen everything physically happening. It's not just words or a story. It's not a kahani. It is live demonstration he has seen. He has experienced the nectar and the bliss of that. But he laid a very important principle down. Even if you think you know, to be able to narrate, you need to hear it from a pure devotee of the Lord. It has to come by the channel of oral transmission, oral reception, and then you can speak. So Shukadev, this Lila Shuka, decided to go where Srimad Bhagavatam, where your pastimes are being narrated, let me see. So someone told him that Kailash, Lord Shiva is narrating it to his wife. So he flew to Kailash and he sat on the branch, and Parvati Devi was the only audience, and she was, you can see how rare is Srimad Bhagavatam. Only one audience is there, that is Parvati Devi. And she was told by Lord Shiva that when I will narrate, and I will go into ecstasy, my eyes will be closed, I will not be in my bodily understanding, conception. So I will only need one oral signal from you that you are awake and listening. You have to just nod by sound. Like that. So I will keep getting motivated that you are listening. And obviously he started narrating and he got lost himself, you know. And she kept on saying for some time, and maybe in third canto or fifth canto, she must have gone to sleep. Because third canto and fifth canto are very descriptive about various planets and various things, and you need really to have an understanding that we are talking about the Supreme Personality, Godhead's wonderful activities and creation. So we have to keep interest on that. Why is this described in Bhagavatam? This is described in Bhagavatam because it connects with Krishna. And not just, you know, when we talk about Pitambar, we can say it is silkish cloth, it is shining like millions of suns. Why we are talking about textile industry? We are not talking about textile industry, we are talking about Krishna's dhoti. It is Krishna's dhoti, that's why we are describing it so in detail. So like that, third canto, fifth canto are so much descriptive. But maybe she went to sleep, and at that time the bird knew that if nobody is nodding with sound, he will stop and I will get interruption in hearing the nectar flow. So he, being a parrot, expert in repeating the sound of anybody, he was hearing it for some time, so he was able to capture the wavelength and everything, and he started exactly repeating the same sound as if Parvati. And Lord Shiva continued and continued and continued, and he came to the end of Bhagavatam. And at that time Parvati woke up and he also opened his eyes. So he said, how was it? He said, I'm sorry my lord, I went to sleep. So then who was nodding with sound? Who was making the sound? So he saw everywhere, he saw, yes, this is the bird sitting on the tree. And the birds are not supposed to hear the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord, being lower species. I must kill this bird. So he took his trishul and started running. And you can see Shila Lila Shuka, the parrot, started running for his life everywhere in Himalayas. He went all the mountain ranges, and Lord Shiva was running behind Pashupatastra, Trishul Astra Leke. And then he saw another setup, another set of Bhagavatam being narrated. Veda Vyas Muni was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife and some other Parshadas. And there he came and said, straight entered the wife's mouth of Veda Vyas. Because she was not sleeping. She was like completely awe-struck. She was so absorbed that her mouth was open. And she was listening. So he straight entered her mouth, and took shelter. And that time Lord Shiva entered there with Trishul and said, I want to kill that bird. But Vyasadeva said that this Bhagavatam is so powerful that he has already heard it. So if he has heard it, he has become immortal. So how can your Trishul kill him? Oh, yes, that is also right. He said, yes. I forgot at that point. Yes, I spoke Bhagavatam and the bird fully heard it. That means that nobody can kill the bird. So Lord Shiva accepted and he went back. And Vedavyasji continued Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he was in the middle of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his wife was already having the bird in her body. And the bird entered her womb. And Srimad Bhagavatam was narrated in that condition. And the bird became Shukadev. And was conceived as a garbha of Vedavyasa's wife. And he was so... It's all Leela actually. The pure devotee, Leela Shuka, how he became Brahman realized. It's not that he transformed himself to a lower situation than the highest situation. It's all the matter of Leela. Lord wanted to tell many things. So he didn't come out for so many months. And then he came out finally. And he came out, so that means he has heard to Bhagavatam how many times now? 2 times he's already heard. And he just goes. He is like a Siddha avatar. There are many Siddha avatars. One is Kapil Dev. He is Siddha avatar. He just was born and he immediately became grown up. Vaman Dev also is Siddha avatar. He was born and immediately became 8-year-old. So like that, Shukdev also was Siddha avatar of the Lord. He just became 16-year-old youth and he just walked off. As he was born, as he is and as he was, just naked he went away. Father is running behind him. And he's not interested in any, he's not even bothered what father is calling, he's just walking. He has no attachment to anything. He doesn't even have the concept of body, female, male, nothing. He's just on the so high platform. And suddenly he stops because some children are breaking the wood in the forest for their guru and the disciples. And they're narrating some shlokas of 10th canto describing Krishna, Balaram, wearing peacock feather, wearing vanamala, and wearing some leaves and some feathers in their ears. And Krishna Balaram are holding flute and blue color and more mukut. And they are playing flute like that Baraha, Pidam, Natavarapapu. Beautiful narration of 2 shlokas. They were just singing as a matter of fact while cutting the wood. And this stopped him. And he asked those boys, where have you learned these beautiful shlokas? He said, our Guruji is teaching. He said, can I learn? Yes, please come with us. We'll take us to your Guru Maharaj. And they lifted their bunch of wood and they brought him back to Vedavyas Maharaj's ashram. From where he had ran away. Because they were disciples of Vedavyas Maharaj. And they were learning Bhagavatam from Vedavyasji. So then again he learned Srimad Bhagavatam in a very scrutinizing way from his father. So you can see this bird, how many times he heard Srimad Bhagavatam and from whom, from what teachers he had heard. Those who are immersed, Vyasadev is a knowledge incarnation of the Lord himself, the 6 opulences of the Lord. One of them is knowledge, unlimited knowledge. Lord is the source of that knowledge and possessing that knowledge personified as Vedavyas. And in a very unique way, he took birth by Parashar Muni and Satyavati. And he narrated Bhagavatam that was heard by him. And then he came. Before that, some other time maybe, the time span may be different. Vedavyas thought of writing the scriptures. So the knowledge personified of the Lord, now we have to write down. Suppose you are told that, okay, this particular subject matter you write down. If you are told to speak, you can just go on speaking, and in speaking you can tell many divisions and all. But if you write down always, so always we do as a counselor, you know. If a counselor has lot of problems and blah, 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 blah goes on. So what we say? Okay, do one thing. You write down your problems. Then what happens? It becomes very short. It becomes very organized. And it's to the point, and you can deal with it nicely also, instead of just going on and on. So when it came down to writing down, he properly divided it. Full knowledge into four Vedas, then so many Upanishads, and so many divisions, so many kinds of knowledges were divided, and properly assorted and properly placed. There's no khichdi of everything. It's just nicely placed. You can approach subject matters as per the Anukramanika, nicely index, and understand it in a systematic way. And all that he did, and he was not happy. Because generally when you serve the order of Guru, you feel a kind of fulfillment, satisfaction, happiness in the heart. This is a usual situation, may not be all the time. But most of the times when you serve the order of your spiritual master very sincerely, offering yourself fully to the service, then you get that feeling that, okay, he's going on right direction. But he was not feeling satisfied, so he came to, you see the location also, came to the bank of Saraswati, because he was there only. Badrikashram is there only. I have been there, most of us have been there also. Such a beautiful location. Such a divine location, such a transcendental location. It's not worldly, it's something extraordinary. And there he sat down and he was lamenting, and Narad Muni comes, and there's beautiful narration in Srimad Bhagavatam, what discussion took place between them. And then Narad Muni told a very golden line to Vyasadeva. Even if you write everything pertaining to spiritual knowledge, if there is no description and glorification of the Supreme Lord, it's all useless. It's all like a dry thing, you know, no rasa in that. You have missed that point. You have given all knowledge about the soul and the body and the variety of ways and variety of knowledges and many pathways and so many things, ways to approach the Supreme Lord, to realize Him. But there is no glorification of the personality and the pastime of the Lord. Gunanu Varnan is not there. That is why this is your condition. That one thing is missing. Now you please go and write that. And then came Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a beautiful location of Badrikashram. There is Vyas Gupa, there is Ganesh Gupa. And there was writing, narrating and writing, narrating and writing. In such a divine way Srimad Bhagavatam has come. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam, the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared in written form in this particular way, in such a beautiful divine location, from the lotus mouth of Vyasadeva, from the hands of Ganeshji, and it has come down to us. And that is supposed to be the final fruit of the trees of Vedas, the most ripened paripakva phal of the Vedic tree. And what do we understand when we have a tree? The tree gives its essence of the tree is in the fruit. It gives in the fruit. So if you eat the fruit, if you eat the mango fruit, that means the essence of mango tree is already within you through the mango fruit. So that means you don't have to eat the bark and the leaves and the branches to get the essence, right? You need to eat only the fruit. So fruit is designed in such a way that you don't need to drink the water that came in the branches and the wood and everything. You only have to eat the succulent tasty food. And that is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's arranged in such a way that in the middle of all the woods and trees of the varieties of knowledge that is available in the world, this is the succulent paripakva phal, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And simply if we take that, then the bondage of the material world is cut. What do we say? Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. All that is inauspicious. Prayeshu matlab almost, it is finished. How? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam words daily and serving Bhagavatam, that is the devotees of the Lord. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. What is the description of these verses? Uttama Shloke. That means Uttama. These verses of Bhagavatam, the sound vibration of Bhagavatam lifts you from the ignorance of the material world, tama, it uttama, it brings you up, rises you up from the fallen dark condition of ignorance of the material world. And then what happens? The most important thing, bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. You do yoga, you do karma kanda, you do jnana kanda, you do upasana kanda, you do siddhi, yoga, ashtanga yoga, so many methods of realizations are there. But all are dealing with only yourself. There is no dealing with the Supreme Lord. It's all selfish way of approaching the Lord. There is no consideration of the Lord being happy or not happy. It's only consideration of I being happy. I'm going to get Brahmananda, the spiritual happiness. I'm going to get blissful. I'm going to get liberated from cycles of birth and death. I'm going to have that pleasure, that unbelievable, unending pleasure of liberation. So I and I only. There is no consideration of the Supreme Lord and His interest and His pleasure and His position. Only what I can get from Him is interest. The interest is there. That's why bhakti is the supreme of all, because in bhakti there is supposed to be no existence of I. All the process of bhakti is supposed to be only for the pleasure of the other person, that is the Lord. And if at all He wants to make me happy, it is His choice to make me happy, but my goal of doing all the things is to make Him happy. His happiness is the topmost. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. And that is what is Bhagavatam. So what happens? Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. There is no other process which makes bhakti establish in the heart as naishtiki, as irrevocable fact. Naishtiki means unbreakable. Consistent, supreme, very elevated situation. Naishtikya means, even Brahmacharya is Naishtikya means uninterrupted. High level, in conscious level, not just bodily level. So that kind of bhakti, which actually pleases the Lord, one of the quality of bhakti is that attracts the Lord, Shri Krishna Akarshani. There are six qualities of bhakti. One of these is this Kleshadha. Immediately all the miseries are mitigated as soon as bhakti enters. Kleshas may be remaining there. They don't affect you anymore. So kleshagni means what? Kleshagni means kleshas are still there, but they don't affect you anymore. All auspicious. Moksha laguta krita. That means what? Bhakti reduces even moksha, the Brahmananda situation, to insignificant. Moksha laguta krita. It is made into lagu, absolutely insignificant. Sandrananda visheshatma, it enables you to relish the nectar which the soul is hankering for in connection with the Lord, with pleasure of the Lord. And lastly, nothing attracts the Lord. No yoga process, no karma kanda, no jnana kanda, no Brahmananda, nothing attracts the Lord except bhakti. Selfless, ahaituki, apratihata, bhakti, devotional service to the Lord is very attractive. And that attractive activity to the Lord gets establishment in your heart and my heart by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it very easy actually? You don't have to go to forest, giving up your family and comforts and money and relatives and happiness of city or whatever family life, and live in seclusion in some forest eating one carrot per day. You don't need to do that. You can be wherever you are, just read Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Without fail, every single day, bhakti will be established in your heart as irrevocable fact every single day whenever you take shelter of that. That kind of power is there in this, each and every verse. And Lord Shiva tells to Parvati in Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, that out of these 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you pick up one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and out of that you make four parts of that verse of the Bhagavatam and you take one fourth of that, one of the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam, and practice into your life, apply to your life, that itself will take you back to Godhead. This is what. Taliya bajaye sab lo. Jai. Why I said that to you? Not because I said it. And it is not applause to me. But that is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why maybe proudly we can say we are the only institute, spiritual institute in the whole creation, in the whole universe, in all over the world, Your Srimad Bhagavatam is read as a rule every single day without fail. Now 12th canto will be over, again it will start from 1.1.1. From 1.1.1. And many institutions are also having this situation, but I am part of this institution and I am watching that wherever I go in the world, in every institution, every branch of ISKCON, 700 branches of ISKCON, every single branch has Srimad Bhagavatam class verse by verse every single day. The Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya principle is practiced every single day for last over 50 years. Why is that? Because anybody who comes to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam will get their bhakti established in the heart as irrevocable fact. That opportunity is given. At the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam is explained as Paramahamsa Sangita, meant for only Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas can take out rasa from this Bhagavatam. It is explained. But at the same time, even if we are not Paramahamsas, it still cleanses the heart. That is the benefit. Srimad Bhagavatam is not just exclusive scriptures, only those read. Those are people who can read and we are not even allowed to read. It's not like that. I have read the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam where I have read that even the drunkards, even the womanizers, even the gamblers and meat eaters, if they read it, they get cleansed of their all sinful tendencies just by hearing the vibration, sound vibrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, how to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? There is a nice story about Parikshit Maharaj. We all know that that's a long story. Of course, Bhagavatam explains that how Parikshit Maharaj was cursed and then he was only having 7 days to live and he did not think of going and enjoying all sense gratification to the utmost level for 7 days and then anyway die in the end. He was very wise and realized soul, so he decided to hear from Shukadev. And Shukadevji arrived at the bank of Ganga and he sat down. And Srimad Bhagavatam is not a mechanical process. Okay, somebody died, so you need to have Bhagavat Sapta, so arrange, call somebody who is in the, available in the market. Okay, he is available, call him, set up something at home, keep some prasadam, and just do it. It's not a mechanical process. It's a very, very personal process. You need to choose who is the speaker. You need to choose the location. You need to choose how do we sit, how does he sit, how do we respect him, how do we honor him, what do we do for him, what kind of facilities you provide him, everything is mentioned. In the Bhagavatam, in Skanda Puran, it is all mentioned how one should conduct Bhagavatam class. So in this case, the particular speaker was Shukadev, the same parrot. And he was in so much love with Radharani that if he would utter the word of Radharani, he would go in Shan Masi Murcha. He will become unconscious for 6 months in trance. He himself knew and others also knew. So the listener, the Shrota and the company of listening people, they all knew what kind of Shrota we have. So they were fully prepared. Like we should also be fully prepared when we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Like if the speaker is diabetic, you should keep some glass of milk and sugar with that. So you should not faint while speaking. All that kind of thing, I'm just giving an example to you. All those things, like if Radhanath Maharaj sits on this Vyasasan to skip Bhagavatam, we cannot have this fan on. Because he'll get choked up because of his bodily situation. So you have to see that the speaker is comfortable to give his heart and pour his heart in blissful condition. So what was the preparation of Shukadev for Shukadev Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj knew very well that he had decided I will not utter the word because he is also very clever and very realized and very compassionate person. He knows that my Shrota has got 7 days only. And he is willing to sit for 24/7. He is not just going to sleep in the night and come in the morning again at sunrise. He was willing to sit for throughout the day 24/7 and he has only 7 days. And I have got lot to tell him and I have got a plan to tell him from this to this, I will tell this. And in between if I utter Radha, then 6 months are gone. And where are 7 days in compared to 6 months? So I will not be able to do justice of compassion to this person. So he already decided. But still, Parikshit Maharaj knew that he may go in trance in between. So what he had done preparation? He had already arranged some drummers. Some dholki walas and all sound making instruments. And they were always there, waiting at the beck and call. And Shukadev Maharaj did not utter. rather than his word. He of course indirectly mentioned many places, but he didn't say Radha as such. That Radha, the consort of Krishna, like it is given in Brahma Vairtha Purana Garga Sahita. He didn't say that. But still, when it was told, it was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, Are how is that after 1 year of Agasura's killing, the boys are telling the story to their parents? You know? After 1 year of killing of Agasur, like they would tell every single day the same immediate stories on the same day only. That fresh story will be told that evening only at Nanda Baitak, the place in Nandagaon. It would be told that time only. Why in this situation after 1 year it is told? So that time, Sukadev Maharaj went in ecstasy and he went unconscious. Because whole Brahma Samhita, Brahma Sammohan Leela came into his mind. Oh, the reason is Brahma Sammohan Leela. That is why it was after 1 year. So he went in trance. So immediately Sukadevji went to, moment he went into trance, Parikshit Maharaj told, Bajao, bajao, jaldi, jaldi, bajao. Everybody started playing drums like loudly and immediately came back to consciousness. And then he told the Brahma Sammohan Leela. So that is what is called as sensitive preparation before Bhagavatam is to be narrated. We have to be very sensitive and personal so that we get the best of the nectar of the person whom we are listening to. It's not just mechanical, you know. If suppose the speaker comes and is narrating Bhagavatam, is so much of interest and everybody is sleeping, looking at the watch and smelling the smell of the kitchen which is coming from the behind and they are just, you know, distracted. So what the speaker will do? Naturally, not intentionally, naturally he will just cut short and because what is he going to pour in? There is no patra there. So what is he going to pour in? He stops pouring. So that kind of sensitive arrangement has to be there. And I heard that, this is one definitely I know he went to unconsciousness, but also some other occasion also he went. But this is one definite occasion. In spite of not uttering the word of Radharani. Then we have one pastime I must tell, because that has lot of messages. But we should know that there are many Bhagavatam narrations. Lord Shiva to Parvati. Lord Vyasadev to his wife. Then Suta Goswami to Shaunaka. And then there is Kumaras telling this to Nimbarka. Then there is one Bhagavatam I just came to. I was like very curious. You know something? The Vrindavan Bhagavat reciters. The Pakka Brajvasis. Like maybe Radharaman Goswamis or Radha Vallabh Goswamis or some people who are connected to various temples. But they are Pakka Brajvasis, you know, hardcore. They always talk about Braj Bhagavat. And if you ask them Braj Bhagavat, they will not tell where it is. I've tried, but they said ki nahin, wo available nahin hai. And then I came to know that Bhagavatam is narrated by Shandilya Muni to Vajranab. In the very place of Vrindavan Dham. Shandilya Muni is a resident sadhu of Nandagaon, by the way. He was a resident sadhu guide of all Nandagaon, including Nanda Maharaj. And Vajranab, you know, renovated, re-established Vigraha, Sar and One. That means he established deities, he established and renovated Sar, that means water reservoirs, and One, he established forests where Krishna performed pastime. So three things Krishna had ordered him. Vigraha, Sar and One. These three renovation you should do. So he did all that and then Shandilya Muni narrated the whole Bhagavatam to him. And that is, I think, Braj Bhagavatam. So all these kind of esoteric punching points are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, which the Brajvasis tell. They are all from that. For example, that 7 days and seven nights of Govardhan Parvat, how do they explain? Because Govardhan was not allowed to participate in Setubandha Leela of Lord Ram during Ramayan, of 7 crores gap was there. He was exactly 7 crores gap. He could have filled up that gap fast, but somehow he lost the opportunity and he was very sad. So Lord said, okay, if you come now, you will get my lotus feet touch for a few minutes because I'll walk over you and then I'll fly with Pushpaka afterwards. I'll not be walking on the bridge again. In fact, the bridge was broken. So you come now for a few months association or you can wait till next yuga and I will come and I will stay for 11 years, 52 days. And I will perform my innermost pastimes within you, in you, around you, everywhere, all my most confidential pastimes. There, that time you will get my charansparsha, my embrace, my every single thing, every part of my body will touch you, and not only me, my devotees, my gopis, my Radharani, my cows, everybody will perform pastimes. So what do you like to have? So he said, yeah, I think I will wait. It's a good deal to wait. But he was so much in agony that waiting also was not easy. He was crying like anything. So devotee like Hanuman was bewildered. Arey, what kind of love this is? I also know what is love. I also experience, but this is something different. So he told all these things to Lord Ram. Lord Ram said, he's my great devotee of the Lord. So Govardhan, when he decided to stay back and wait, he said that, I will not be able to bear this separation for such a long time alone. So I want you to remain with me here, to give me company, to console me, to survive. So Hanumanji in one form stayed back as Puncharika Lota Baba. And another form went to fight in the battle. Now this is Vraj Bhagavatam. You understand what I'm saying? Another Vraj Bhagavatam ka punch is like this, that Lord said that you were 7 kroshas, I had 7 kroshas of gap in the bridge, and I could not fulfill your desire, so I will hold you above my head 7 days and 7 nights. So bolta ye saat ka jo leela hai na, ye saat ki leela hai. That is how it is. So there are so many points like this, which they keep telling in between the stories, you know. And we wonder, where is it in Bhagavatam? Where it is in Bhagavatam? Where it is in Garga Sahita? You will not find anywhere. It is there in that book. So we have to just consciously gather these kind of points. Anyways. So, and one Bhagavatam is narrated by Uddhavji to the queens of Krishna. And this story we will tell before we close our discussion. Now see, Krishna knew that he is going to leave at a particular time. And then his all wives will become very sad, and they will become very morose, and they will lament because of loss of their husband, physical association. So he already had planned. Like a father and mother, how plan for children? Na? Because children are also not aware what's going to happen, but parents have already planned for them what they should be doing and how they should be protected, how they can be saved and secured their future. So like that Krishna knew, so he said, Parikshit Maharaj, and his grandson Bajranav. Bajranav was put in charge of Braj Bhumi. As a, you know, we have many states, so we have one prime minister and many chief ministers. So this particular area was given to Bajranav to renovate, establish, and, you know, take care of, maintain. And Parikshit was the king of the world. So both were the authorities. So he told both of them that, first he told Uddhav, you cannot come back with me. 11th canto, we discussed that point very nicely. Uddhav was finding out properly from reading in between the lines why Krishna is taking all the Yadavas out of Dwarka. Dwarka is itself the Vaikuntha, and liberation key is so easily possible from there, but he is taking them out of Dwarka and taking them to Vibhas Kshetra, Prabhas Kshetra. So that, you know, the bell rang in his head. There's something, Krishna I think is going from this world. So he came and told, I read your activities and in between the lines, and I understand you are leaving. He said, yes, I am leaving. He said, no, I cannot stay. I have to go with you. Wherever you go, I have to take me. You are coming again also, you take, bring me back or whatever. He said, no, you are not going to go. You have a service here, and I will tell you what the service is. When my wives will be coming, crying, they will be brought to Braj Bhumi, and you will have to deliver them back to Godhead. So this is told to Uddhav. Anyway, Uddhav went to Vrindavan at Kusum Sarovar, did tapasya, became blade of grass, Golmalata, resided there, receiving the dust of Gopi's lotus feet. So he was already there doing tapasya in Kusum Sarovar in the most insignificant position. And here he told, Krishna told Bajranab and Parikshit Maharaj that, please bring my wives to Vrindavan Dham. So they were brought. And they entered Vrindavan and they saw Yamuna Devi, you know, flooding, and her waves were like, you can see she is in ecstasy actually. And they were wondering that Yamuna Devi also is our co-wife. The fourth co-wife is Yamuna Devi. So they asked Yamuna, all of them crying, Rukmini and everybody crying. They asked Yamuna, how is this? You are also wife of our beloved husband, and you appear to be happy and blissful, and we are crying. How is this? So she said, I am a Brajavasini Patni of Krishna. I am there in physical form. I was there in Dwarka, in physical form as Yamuna Devi. But I am here as Brajvasini, but here I am part of Radharani. Radha Tattva is our real existence. So, for us, there is no sorrow as such. Although we are in separation, we are in bliss only, constantly. But they didn't quite understand, because, you know, when you come from a Aishwarya situation, in Madhurya situation, it is difficult to understand Madhurya situation immediately. At the same time, they were also in sorrowful condition. They were not in normal condition. They had come to visit Vrindavan Dham and see the holy places. Not like that. They were already in deep sorrow. So this tattva of Radha tattva was not understood by all the queens. So Yamuna said, you please go to Uddhav at Kusum Sarovar and he will explain to you. So they were taken by Parikshit and Vajranab to Uddhav, to Kusum Sarovar. And two things are very important here. When they came, they were told that you please sing the holy names of the Lord. Otherwise Uddhav will not come out. How he will come out? How will you know where is he? Because so many Gulmalatas everywhere. How do you locate Uddhav? So the queens who were in separation from Krishna, you know, they were Mahishis. They were not ordinary people. Although they were from Dwarka, but they were such elevated souls. And they were in separation from Krishna. You can imagine the intensity of love when they expressed that love in the form of the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Such beautiful holy names they chanted in such a beautiful mood of love, of separation from Krishna, that Uddhavji from the form of a Gulmalata appeared in the form of him, the human form. So there is a glory of the Harinam Sankirtan at Kusum Sarovar. How Uddhavji came out of the form of Gulmalata to human being form. And then at the banks of Kusum Sarovar, Uddhavji sat with these all the queens of Krishna and narrated Srimad Bhagavatam for 30 days. So there's also a difference in duration. When 7 days is the duration, you have to restrict yourself, because it is not that you can speak everything and the speaker will pass away in between. You have to cover up everything. So there has to be a lot of planning. See, if I am told, you speak on Kusum Sarovar, the time is yours, then I will go on speaking. No. But if you tell me, in 30 minutes you have to tell everything about Kusum Sarovar, then I have to really plan. Exactly, I have to cover everything, all points have to be covered, so I have to be very organized. So Shukadeva had to be very organized, plus his own problem of Radharani's name and everything is all very difficult situation in one sense, but he has to be very, on the platform of compassion, he had to be very planned and speak everything so that the soul who is recipient should not miss anything to go back to Godhead. Whatever is necessary should be given to him. But here Uddhavji had no time limit as such, in one sense. So he was speaking Bhagavatam from his heart. And you know something which is most important point which we have to carry home today is, as soon as he uttered the first word of Srimad Bhagavatam, not first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like what we say, Janmadyasya yataha, to Janma, it's a beginning word. When whatever word he uttered, the first, at the very moment of the utterance of the first word, the queens of Krishna stopped crying. Now why they were crying? Because Krishna is not there. They are feeling the separation from Krishna. And why they must have stopped crying? Any guess? Because? Yeah, because the point here is each and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Sri Krishna himself. So moment that sound vibration of the first word of Bhagavatam was uttered, they felt the personal presence of Sri Krishna with them. So what we are reading here is not just the words, not just a printed word with black ink. They are Sri Krishna himself when they are spoken. When you say, Purana Sankhyam Sambhutim, we are experiencing Krishna, we are supposed to experience Krishna. At least by theoretical understanding, we should know that we are receiving Krishna through oral reception, through this particular chashaka. Chashaka means the cup of our ears. We are receiving Krishna who is entering in our heart, in the courtyard of our heart, and he is going to dance very soon. And afterwards, for all the other verses of 18,000 in number, the queens of Krishna never cried. They were in bliss all the time. To the extent that when 10th canto was narrated, and when their stories came, how they got married with Krishna, they saw themselves. Because for them, it was not just sound vibration, it was not just personal association of Krishna, but it was drishtanta also. they were seeing all the drama of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Leela, enacted in front of their eyes. They were actually in the pastime. You know, when the pure devotees speak Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole pastimes runs through in front of your eyes, you know. You are not there physically. You are simply in the Leela. You are participating in the Leela. As an observer or as a participant. And they were the actual participants. So they actually saw themselves getting married with Krishna, in childhood remembering Krishna, getting attracted to Krishna, getting hankering for Krishna, then getting married with Krishna, then living with Krishna in so many palaces of Dwarka, and all those beautiful hundred years of life with Krishna. Everything was there in front of their eyes. And when 12th canto was over, their own forms, the divine forms, the celestial, the spiritual forms of spiritual world, they merged in their forms and they went back to Godhead. This is the power of Uddhavji's Srimad Bhagavatam. And that has been narrated at the banks of Uddhav Kund. So Uddhav Kund has multiple arrays of pastimes. And one of them is this pastime. The glory of Srimad Bhagavatam is enacted over there. All the queens of Krishna, they were given the opportunities and the means by Uddhav, by his devotion and love and appreciation for the Vrindavan Dham that he had in the heart, the appreciation of gopis that he had in the heart. With that appreciation of love of Vrindavan Dham, he narrated Srimad Bhagavatam as service to Krishna, to his wives. And with that purity, he delivered all those wives back to Godhead. And that is why he was asked to stay back. Such an important service he had to do. So what we have to understand, that when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are directly associated with Krishna. And another internal meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam is, Srimad Bhagavatam is Shuddha Bhakti personified. Pure devotional service personified in Leelas, in action. So who is personification of Shuddha Bhakti Purna Seva, pure devotional service, is Radharani. So all the description of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Radharani's description only. Because Radharani's greatest lover is narrating it. When we hear any katha, there are two things that is affecting us. One thing is the words that are spoken. They could be eloquent words, they could be simple words, they could be storied words, they could be scriptural words, they could be philosophical words, they could be just words. That also affects us because that is also pure. And second most important thing that affects us is the consciousness of the speaker. With what heart he is speaking. What is in his heart. What his heart is consisting of. If that is filled with partly lust, then that also affects. If it's also having desire to earn money, fame through the Bhagavatam, that also affects. And if the heart is filled with pure devotion, selfless, ahaituki bhakti, and love for the Lord, and love for the Dham, and love for the Lord, and love for the Lord's devotees, and heart is very soft and selfless, that also affects. So here Uddhav is narrating Bhagavatam, there are words, and there are pastimes, and there are stories. And what is also affecting is Uddhava's consciousness. You know, Uddhava's personality, we have discussed it at length in Bhagavatams here. In short, we can say Uddhav is a topmost devotee of the Lord. What he had achieved, in laukic sense, there was nothing more to achieve because he was so close to Krishna. He was having the color of Krishna. He was friend of Krishna. He was minister of Krishna. He was cousin brother of Krishna. He was disciple of Brihaspati. He was so learned and he was so close to Krishna. He was mantri of Krishna. Krishna would listen to his advice and everything was so close. So who would think that there is something more to achieve regarding Krishna? What is there for me to achieve? I am so closed. But he went to Vrindavan and he realized that, I am not that close. These gopis are so much more close, millions of times more intimately close to Krishna than I think I am. So he left that closed situation and he went to Vrindavan, away from Krishna physically, perform tapasya to degrade himself from the topmost position to the menial position. There are only two people who have performed such tapasyas. One is Brahma, from Brahma's position to become a stone. And one is Uddhav, from his position to become a blade of grass. The most insignificant thing you can trample upon is blade of grass. He did tapasya for that. Generally we do tapasya to do something, to achieve something lower to higher, you know. That's why we give up some things and want to achieve positions and promotions and, you know, many things. But these two people have performed tapasyas to come down to the lowest position. So he did that. He just didn't speak. He went and did that. He became the blade of grass. He achieved the dust of gopis who trampled upon him, you know, very sahaj, very easily. And he remained in that position, in the humble position. And that appreciating personality of Braj Ras was speaking Bhagavatam. And that was the power that was received by the queens of Krishna through the Bhagavatam of Uddhavji, and which paved their way back from the Leela on the earth to Goloka Vrindavan, to wherever Dwarka, spiritual world, they belong to. So, let us take this Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. And lifetimes are not enough to understand it, but still, we within our given capacity at least should sincerely attempt to read and understand and hear from pure devotees. Prabhupada wrote these purports in such a situation of not sleeping in the nights. First canto in Radha Damodar Mandir, all the other cantos being busy all the time in the world. No time to write, you know. In the night time he was writing. So, till 14th chapter of 10th canto, he actually dictated translations and the purports. But please see that film, The Final Lesson of Srila Prabhupada. He is only bone and skin, maybe 25 kilos of weight. Only, there is no flesh on the body, only skin and the bone. And people used to lift his eyebrows, you know, to show him the people who came to visit him. So weak he was. He was not able to move any inch of his body also. Everything like a small baby. But you see that, I think Jayadvait Maharaj and other team members are around him on that same very celebrated bed in Vrindavan, quarters of Prabhupada, and the dictaphone is kept on his mouth and he is speaking the translations of the 14th chapter of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in a pristine, crystalline, clear voice, with clear consciousness, clear thought process he was narrating, and it was being spoken and recorded and written in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if he wouldn't have done that, now suppose he would have finished in 10th chapter, 13th chapter only, suppose. Nobody would mind it because he was on deathbed. But till his last breath he was translating. For whom? He had read it, he understood everything, he has assimilated, he has lived a whole Bhagavatam in his personal life. But he did that for you and me, so that we can read that and understand. And he was pouring his heart with full sacrifice of every single thing. He could have just rested, meditating on the Lord, waiting for the last moment to come. But he was still writing and writing, writing, maybe one shloka more, maybe one shloka more, maybe one shloka more I will write before I go. So much sacrifice is done by Srila Prabhupada to give this literature to us. This literature was so important to him that he was in the progress of writing some cantos, like first canto he finished in Vrindavan, other ones he was writing. And then he thought, my God, I may not reach 10th canto. So he wrote 10th canto in story form much before only. Taking a risk of introducing Dasam Skanda, Krishna Leela to people in a premature stage. But he knew if I leave, then better read it in story form. And George Harrison sponsored it in a very miraculous way. All that story you should read in Prabhupada Leelamrita. And such a miraculous way 10th canto appeared in English language in story form in 1, 2 and 3 volumes. And then he took liberty to write down everything and he reached 10th canto and 14 chapters. So you can see how much importance of what was he writing first with Bhagavatam only. He began with Bhagavatam only. In Vrindavan also. He could have chosen Chaitanya Charitamrita also. He could have chosen something also. But he knew that Bhagavatam is a savior. If you read Bhagavatam, understand Bhagavatam, practice Bhagavatam, it is enough to go back to Godhead. If you lose all the scriptures and Bhagavatam remains, nothing is lost. And if you lose Srimad Bhagavatam and others, all scriptures are intact, you have lost everything still. This is what I have read. So knowing this, Srila Prabhupada did so much sacrifice to write this Bhagavatam down. And then when he left in between, from 10th canto, 14th chapter, everything else, his disciples, you know, four of them came together and meditated on so many other commentaries and the essence of all the commentaries they wrote in every purport as every chapter. So much hard work is there. Was such an important literature. Feeling unqualified to write, they wrote on behalf of Prabhupada, empowered by Prabhupada. And we feel Prabhupada only when we read the purports. So, this is all to make us understand what is the importance, you know. We take it seriously. Before we grow too senile, we should take it seriously. If you have read once, we can read again. We can read two times, we read three times, we can read again and again. Each and every shloka, each and every time will give you newer and newer and newer realizations. They will never be, you know, boring. We are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for so many years now. I mean, we are not thinking, oh, again the first canto, again 1.1.1 will start very soon. How boring. Again, so many years it will take to go to 10th canto. When will I hear Krishna Lila again? It's not like that. When you take 1.1.1 today, you will see so much nectar is there in that. So much nectar is there in that. The beginning of Bhagavatam. Anyway, so thank you all very much for coming here today on Sunday morning and allowing me to speak. If there is comment, if there is time, you can ask. If there is comment, is there? Hare Krishna. So is there any comment? Yes. To come to the level of, his question is, if bhakti is everything, why there is austerity? To come to the level of bhakti is not easy. There are so many obstacles in between. Temptations of fruits of action, temptations of getting liberation, temptations of getting mystic powers. So many things are there in between. They allure us and bewilder us. So austerities prepare you for bhakti. Austerities make yourself ready for accepting bhakti. Bhakti is not just so cheap, you know, we just come and start doing. It's not possible. Real bhakti will take place when we restrict our senses. And to restrict our senses, austerity is there. And what is the austerity? To give up illicit sex, give up intoxication, give up gambling, to attend to the holy name while we are chanting the holy name, observe Ekadashi Vrata. These are all austerities. We don't propagate austerities like going to forest, giving up family, giving up wealth and staying in jungle as ascetic. That's not austerity we talk about. We talk about austerities which help us to perform the process of bhakti. And they have that place. Austerity in itself has no value. It will not lead you anywhere. In fact, austerity without bhakti will make you hard-hearted. And you perform austerities to perform bhakti, that will make your heart softer, where love of Godhead will sprout in. Any other question? Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho. Srila Prabhupada ki jai ho. Thank you.